Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and today I'm thrilled because we have with us Lisa Loving Dalton. Lisa spent years working with stunt or stunt doubling for a galley of celebrity stars, Madonna, Meryl Streep, there's just Robert Redford, there's just too many to even mention. She's really an expert at what she does, and then she decided to share what she's been doing with her life in a wonderful book called Falling for the Stars, A Stunt Gal's Cattle Tales, and it's really a tribute to her indomitable spirit, despite some extraordinary prices she's paid for what she's found to be a very unusual passion in life. So, Lisa, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Vicki, so much for inviting me. I'm really excited about our chat today.
Well, you've had this unbelievable life, doing something that is so unique to most all of the world. So few people experience this. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in your passion and purpose to be doing this.
Yeah, I would love to share that. You know, when I was young, I was terribly klutzy and undiagnosed dyslexic and ambisinistrous, as they say. Not that too many people know what that is, but it means, you know, if you know what ambidextrous means, it's skillful with two hands. Well, in my case, I was clumsy with two hands. And it was very difficult emotionally. I was bullied a lot, teased a lot, and just built in this determination to become absolutely the best physically skilled person I could. Very committed to defying the laws of gravity and committed to defying the laws of being a female. I had a distinct tomboy approach to, you know, trying to be the kid who could climb highest in the tree and trying to be the only girl on the football team and things like that. And just about everything that I started in, I was pretty much the low person on the totem pole. But I stuck with it and eventually got shelves full of best player, softball, basketball, tennis, whatever. And I found that perseverance usually would lead me to the top of whatever I was pursuing. And I was also very drawn to performing from the earliest ages. You know, it was kind of like I was on top of the jungle gym in kindergarten, knocking the boys off the top, but making sure I didn't do it until I had everybody's attention to witness it. So at a certain point, I kind of had to recognize that there was something in me more than just your typical middle child syndrome, and that I actually had a deep love and passion for entertaining. And as I went into high school, I was successful in my drama club and things like that. But when I went into college, it was just a theatrical disaster for me because I wasn't a song and dance gal. And as a result, I did what I'd always done since grade school, which was I just went out and made my own theater. And I got involved in the avant-garde and in stage combat, anything very physical. In the theater, clowning, mime, juggling, and eventually moved to New York, had a professional career as an actor there with a theater company called the Bond Street Theater, which is still around today. Mostly they're performing in Haiti and in Myanmar and in Afghanistan and in dangerous places in the world, performing their stilt and clown and gymnastic entertainments to help educate and uplift the public. Extraordinary work. And I worked with them the first 4 years while they were primarily out of New York. When I got married, I knew I didn't want to do the traveling overseas, which they were embarking on, and I wound up getting a job as a stand-in on a movie, standing in for Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island, because I have red hair, and I wound up realizing there was this profession called stunts, and I got a chance to spend about 3 weeks in the back of a car as a photo double for Julie Haggerty, who was also in that same movie. She did Airplane. She was the Oh, Ted. And speaking of Oh, Ted, the two kidnappers, one was the stunt coordinator and the other was an unknown actor named, well, eventually named Al Bundy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Ed O'Neill was an unknown actor and he was one of my kidnappers. So from there, you know, one thing led to another, and I found a way to entertain with my physical prowess.
That is just incredible, the drive to want to do that, because, I mean, it's so dangerous and rough and tumble. I surfed when I was in high school, and I quit because I was bruised everywhere as a result of surfing, you know, and I can't even imagine what that is like. Because I would think when you're doing stunts for movies and TV or whatever, that you probably are asked to do things maybe you've never done before.
You know, that's the thing, that just about everything really is unique and specific to this particular moment and this particular job task and construction of the gag, which is what they call the stunt, the gag. And so while you can go out and practice, we used to go to a gymnasium and jump off the balconies onto the mats, or we'd swing on the trapeze and fall off and try to make it look horrible and things like that. So you can practice those things. But when you get out onto the set, there are factors. We used to rent cars on rainy days, overinflate the tires, and go out to abandoned parking lots and spin them around. But when you're right there on the set, there's always some unknown quantity that you must know is going to rear its head, and you've got to be able to deal with it. And things like getting hit by a car or dodging a car, for example. Like one time, it was actually my second job, I was supposed to jump out of the way of the car, but the car was on snow. Well, we didn't rehearse it because we didn't want to have tracks in the snow. So the car skidded on the snow and missed its mark by well over 10 feet, which put it right smack into me. So I was flying over that windshield, and I can tell you that having a ton of steel smack you, is that'll leave a few bruises.
I just can't imagine.
Yeah, you know, my gymnastic background kicked in, and I rolled off, and fortunately I landed on soft snow, so it was good. But there is that completely uncontrollable element, and you can try to practice and try to rehearse, but some of the stunts, like you said, Vicki, you know you're going to get a little banged up. It's just kind of the way it's going to happen. And our job is to be more of, I would say, I always thought of it very scientifically, to look at what is likely to occur and then what can I do to diminish the pain, to diminish the ongoing or the serious potential repercussions. How can we use the camera angles to make the impact less dangerous? And how can we roll with the punches, so to speak, and pull the punches in order to keep the bruising to a minimum? How can we put on pads and gear and things like that to protect us without it showing?
My gosh, incredible. So are you still involved in this?
Not now. I did suffer or experience a severe injury. One of the things that happened was I, at the same time that I fell into stunts, so to speak, I also discovered an acting technique same year, same like just a month apart. This acting technique is Michael Chekhov's acting technique, and that acting technique is this extraordinarily physically imagination and fun-oriented approach that was the first time I'd found a a path into acting and performing that really embodied my whole being. And because so many of these acting approaches just utilize your psychology and they invite you to like think of terrible things from your past, and it's very destructive. It destroys your immune system. It triggers PTSD. It's very, very dangerous. And I just couldn't go there. And so my real passion about acting, actually, when I went into the stunts, I thought it would help me get acting jobs. And they told me that it would, maybe the first 5 years, and if I stayed in it longer than that, that it would probably cut my acting career off because I would get pigeonholed as just a stunt player. So as my star was rising as a stunt woman, I was learning more and more and becoming a better and better actor through this Michael Chekhov approach, which was also very spiritually oriented and very empowering, very healing. And I started to realize that as I was getting better jobs and sort of my ego was sort of exploding in the stunt field, people are, oh, you're so amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I was just kind of eating it up on one hand. But 3 days a week, when I could be, I was in acting class discovering really more about a higher being and more about my truer path. And so I was growing in both areas, and they started to sort of push up against each other. I was getting messages, subtle messages, and then some very blatant ones. I had 3 different stunt friends in a period of 4 months in 86, 87 that were killed doing stunts.
Oh, my.
Yeah. They were all excellent stuntmen, and they were very, very good, and they made mistakes. And that was like, wow, I'd been in it 7 years now, and I was knowing that I needed to get out. And so I actually tried to quit, but I was so caught in ego and stuff that I kept going back and doing them. And then I said, that's it. I'm not doing any more. I was bicoastal at that point. I had an apartment in L.A. and an apartment in New York. And I decided, and New York really was where my biggest work was, and I decided to close out my apartment. And I flew into New York from L.A. And the night before I left, my friends from New York called and said, oh, Lisa, we need you. We love you. We've got this job. The girl who was going to do it is going to be in L.A., and you're a great double for her, and it's a new series, and, you know, you could be the regular double in this new series. And that being the regular double of the lead in a series is sort of the dream job of a stunt player because it's steady work as opposed to a day here, a day there. And so this was incredibly tempting. And they said, well, you know, you're going to be here. We'll hire you as a local. You know, it'll be $431. It'll pay your airfare. It's very easy, but nobody else is qualified. It's rappelling, and it's off this cliff. And so how could I say no? I bought right into it, and the rope slipped off the cliff, and I crashed into that cliff like a pendulum swinging 25 feet in between two sides of the cliff, and back and forth several times. And as I was doing it, like, I finally got myself stabilized on a ledge, and I said right then to myself, this is going to be the most powerful spiritual gift you will ever give yourself. It's true. It turned out to be because, you know, I was misdiagnosed and people kept telling me there was nothing wrong with me, and I would be walking and I'd be collapsed on the ground for no reason, apparently no reason. By the end of a year, my muscles had so atrophied that I couldn't walk. I was completely bedridden. And I had to beg the studio to send me to a new doctor, and I almost got arrested at the doctor's office because I refused to leave until he told me what was wrong with me. I was there 6 hours. They brought security in, and I told the guy, you're going to need a couple of helpers because I'm not moving, and I'm fierce. And finally, the doctor rethought and he did a new set of x-rays on me, and he saw the problem, and he said, wow, you have a, what turned out ultimately after 4 years of court was a 46% loss of use of my back.
Oh, my gosh.
So that...
Oh, my gosh.
I do still stay in touch with a lot of my stunt friends, and one of the things that I developed in a way of coping with this severe chronic pain was going into all these alternative healing approaches, because the last doctor and the two that he sent me back to the first two surgeons that I saw, and all three independently said, don't get surgery now, it's too dangerous, wait and delay until you cannot, absolutely cannot function. And so I learned so much about the quantum physics, metaphysics, science, and athletic elements that would help me cope, that I also found the information that confirmed the acting technique that I had become a teacher of, Michael Chekhov's work. So through the injury, I learned so much that I began teaching all over the world. I taught in Moscow, and I taught in London and Paris and Berlin and all over this country. And today, my primary thing is mentoring teachers and performers in how to use full-bodied, physical, and spiritually driven acting techniques to live a healthier life and to also become greater performers with a richer impact on the audience. So I can't say that the injury was an accident. It was a guidepost, definitely.
It's so amazing how those things happen, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are life-changing and may not look positive at the time, but it can open just wonderful new doors. So, Lisa, tell us a little bit about the book and why you decided to write your book.
Well, it's a great question, Vicki, because it leads right from what we were just saying. 2.5 years ago, I finally had my surgery. And this surgery actually has allowed me for the first time since then in 24 years to be able to sit for longer than 5 or 10 minutes at a time. And I couldn't do that before. For years, I had been sharing my stories with people, and people were always intrigued by what the world of stunts is like. And I found I could open a conversation with anyone. I mean, when you've when you've met Katharine Hepburn, and when Dick Van Dyke has fallen on your lap, or, you know, Sid Caesar and you, or Sidney Poitier and you have had dinner together, there's a lot to talk about. And so people were asking, have you written? Have you written? I was like, I'm going to write. And then by the time I recovered from all my physical therapy for the surgery and could walk and everything again and sit, then I started wanting to write. And my first things I wanted to write had to do with the acting technique. I have a 200-page workbook that goes with a course that I teach, and so I thought I'd bring that into a full publication. And I also have this deep passion about how our culture treats talent. How many times I was told I was not talented, or that I would never make it in the world, or how many times my friends, people I know who are in their 60s and go, oh, I always wanted to be an actor, and I push them into a community theater, and all of a sudden they're blossoming in their life. So we see a lot of repressed talent and a lot of distorted talent and a lot of talented people or untalented people who become stars and don't handle it well. So I wrote a book called Murder of Talent, How Pop Culture's Killing It. And then I started writing this book, Falling for the Stars, and I started alternating working on both of them. And I was actually under the mentorship of a guy named Tom Bird, who puts up the idea that the book sort of exists by itself, and all we need to do is sort of tap into the book and allow ourselves to write the book. And I have to say, that's really what happened. This book wanted to be written, and it wanted to share the insights that I gained. I found that a lot of people have a lot of fear in their lives, and certainly in the stunt field, fear is obviously obviously an element one needs to cope with. When I was standing on the sixth-floor roof of a building in New York and looking across the alley at my target and looking over the ledge down at this little teeny trampoline wedged in between the brick walls down there, there was a little bit of a fear charge
I
going.
I guess.
And I realized that one of my specialties has been training people to deal with stage fright and fear. And I realized I learned so much as a stunt woman about handling fear, and it's one of the topics I talk about. And each little episode, there are like over 40 episodes of different films, some of the 200-plus film and TV shows that I did. Each one has a little bit of a lesson that I learned that I think other people will appreciate. Plus, I've got fun stuff like I've got a crossword puzzle in there and over 40 pictures. And I got Dalton's Dictionary, which is a glossary about the film industry that is distinctly biased, with a few poems interspersed.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Yeah.
So what do you hope the reader will take away from your book?
I think we all are capable of rising to a level of extraordinariness in our everyday lives. And when I look at being this clumsy, dyslexic, bullied, insecure child, and how the dings of my life and how my own self-discipline and perseverance combined with the guidance to seek the beauty, which is one of the Michael Chekhov acting techniques, he invites us to look at what is and find the beauty within it. And that's what I hope. I hope people will have a rollicking good time reading about some of the crazy things, like especially like I was shocked when I looked back, Vicki, at how many times my very full breasts became an issue in my stunt doubling process, because most of the actresses are not that full-breasted. And crazy things like that came up when I was supposed to double Daryl Hannah, and then one crazy thing on the film FX where they put me in a very, very low-cut dress, and that's quite a story. there's a lot of good laughs, I'm telling you. So I hope people laugh, because, you know, the laughter itself, 5 minutes in a state of appreciation, will boost your immune system for over 6 hours. So I think people will get a good laugh out of it. It's a great, fun read. And on my website, which is lisadalton.com, there are free chapters that you can download and the crossword puzzles on there and some other gifts that are available. So I think people are, first, I hope they're going to be entertained hearing juicy stories about our stars and some wonderful, gracious things that people like Meryl Streep and Cher did for me, and the crazy stuff and the lessons.
Fantastic. And, you know, above and beyond the book, I'm doing some great work that you've already mentioned, but talk a little bit more about what that work entails and how someone might engage with you if they felt that they could benefit.
One of the interesting things that I discovered with the acting coaching was not only was I healing through learning the technique, but my actors were becoming healthier human beings and happier. And what I learned and realized as I was learning things like neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis and voice dialogue with the sub-personalities, that many, many people today are knowing that they can be healthier and happier. And so when we learn information that helps change the way we think, most of us don't realize we need to change the way we move. because our emotions are connected into our biology. And so we might learn something that might help me have better self-esteem or self-compassion. But the moment I begin to walk, I start curving my shoulders in, and the chemicals that go with curved shoulders that lead to depression start activating. And 2 days after I've learned this whole new thing, all my, you know, New Year's resolutions have fallen apart. What we've failed to do is retrain our body to move with the new understanding that our mind has gathered. And so there is a set of exercises that one can do to free yourself, and they're very loose and playful, so you don't have to worry about getting the form properly. Just things like how if you curl up on the floor in a ball, some people will hate that and some people will feel very secure with it. And if you stand up and you spread your arms out like you're in a big giant X, some people will love the power that that brings. Some people will feel, you know, crucifiable from that position. But those positions and every point in between that range of totally contracted to totally expanded are the natural range of motion that the infant has that we come into the world with. And so when we have the ability to just move our body back and forth with that opening and closing process, like the leaves do, like the seeds do, like the ocean does, like the seasons do, then we can start to have new thoughts, healthier thoughts move into our body. We can contract when we want, and we can expand when we want in the natural rhythm. So that's one example of how we can utilize some of these acting techniques to actually help us feel better, to help us begin to breathe with a greater feeling of ease, to manage our anxiety levels when we're about to go on an interview, when we're going to go to a social event that might make us nervous. There are lots of different applications. And there's actually on YouTube, and one can find a link on my website, there's a video on Lisa Dalton on conflict resolution that shows, it's like a little 10-minute video, that shows how to use this. And for actors, for acting teachers, performers, even doctors, life coaches, I'm president of the National Michael Chekhov Association, and we offer training programs. We are available to come to you, or we have 2 annual week-long intensives, one at the University of Florida, which the dates are usually over Christmas, New Year's, and another at the New Mexico State University in Las Cruces, which is the first week of June. And we have intermittently various weekend workshops and things like that. So then I, of course, do online coaching and things like that. So the opportunities are there with, you know, if you build it, we will come. I'd love to come and speak. I also have a one-woman show that I perform, and I often do that with master classes at various universities and theaters. So those are some of the ways.
That is so wonderful. Well, just to make sure that everyone, and I'm sure all of our listeners, will want to connect with you further, give your website one more time where they can get all of this great information and do just that, connect with you.
Yes, thank you. My website is lisadalton.com, and Lisa, L-I-S-A, and Dalton, like the Dalton Gang, D-A-L-T-O-N, as in Nancy.com. I look forward to people coming to visit me and friending me on Facebook and Twitter. I'm at Lisa Loving Dalto or at Michael Chekhov.
Fabulous. Lisa, thank you so much. Time has just flown by with you, and there's so much more for everyone to gain from getting to know you better and connecting with you. So I really appreciate you being here and sharing.
Thank you so much, Vicki. I've really enjoyed chatting with you, and I look forward to hearing from the listeners.
Wonderful. And for those who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our over 1,000 best-selling authors and books, our global broadcast and communities, as well as award-winning magazines, you can find us at geti.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.